Okay, now I'm going to have, I want you to put up that little girl. Okay, we're going to sing it again, but she's 7 years old. She sang at the Los Angeles for the games for, I don't know, soccer or something. What? Okay. However, I just want to say this. Some of you are young and don't realize that our freedom is trying to be taken away. And if whoever's in the presidency right now doesn't get out, it will be. What it is Christianity. What they're really trying to do is kill the Christianity and the name of Jesus or the name of God from the United States so they can go into communism. It's not just socialism, it's communism, and it's horrid. It's horrid. And we've fought all these years and all the wars to stop the communism in other nations. I do know that God's going to intervene because we're not done. Because even Kim Clement says it gets horrible, you know, and the prophet that passed on to heaven, but it gets horrible in the United States. And there is so much. We still are able to meet this morning. Some places still haven't opened. We have never closed. I tell you what, I would die before I would close, and I don't care. I'm ready for it. I will. Now, I want you to sew because that was really, but this version of the Star Spangled Banner, and she's 7 years old, and she, you can tell it's coming from her heart. Her name is, and she's Asian. Her name is Malie something. I don't know if she's adopted. I saw her mother. She didn't look Asian, but go ahead and put her up. There she is, 7 years old.
Now here to perform the American National Anthem, please welcome our Galaxy Social Night Contest winner, the tiny but mighty 7-year-old singer from Los Angeles, Malaya Emma Chandragwijaya.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the pale fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air. Still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave o'er the land of the free.
Isn't that, honey?
What happened in Iwo Jima? As soon as they saw that flag, they started to win, because they were going down, our troops. We lost 26,000 right there in Iwo Jima. What happened at 9/11? What was up there erected yet? Remember?
The flag.
The flag was still up after they had destroyed those buildings. You can't get rid of this flag. No way. I mean, look at the Civil War. All of them tried to, and it did not work. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? And I'll tell you, if we'll stick together, you know what? If all the churches, the born-again churches, would start going against this whole thing, we'd win this thing right now. But look at the separation, what the devil has done. That's what the devil uses for separation. Because look at the Roman army, how powerful they were, because they stuck together. They trusted that captain. And here's our captain right here. You've got to get in that word, and you've got to find out the truth. And don't take it for granted. That's what too many people are doing. Taking it for granted.
Yeah.
And that's what the devil works on.
That's why what happened is happening.
This little gal behind Erica drives almost 100 miles to come to church. She lives in Howell, Nebraska. We can't even come. We're a block away. You don't think God doesn't see that? Coming to hear the word. A church alive is worth the drive. Says right in Revelations 3:14 and 15, if you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. What does it say in Hebrews 10:25? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, right, as some do, as the exalt, see thy time coming. Back in the back there, too, there's a person right back there with his wife. They travel almost 20 miles to come to church.
40
miles.
You have to consider the back.
Yeah, but God sees that. It says right in Psalms 112, they're going to weep and gnash with their teeth and melt away. Because when you've got all this beauty, see, is not he our Father? Does he not want our best? But he wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful to his word. Bible studies, you all should be here on the Bible studies as much as you can. John 8:31 and 32, if you continue my word, your disciple, the truth will make you free. We have a Bible study that's very stalwart on Thursday nights.
Thursday morning.
At 10 o'clock. If you can come. Some people have been there and they're going backwards. It just appalls me because her and I have been born again since 1979 and we have not lost our first love. Says right in Revelations 2:4, if you lose your first love, you're going to lose your... A lot of people don't think they can lose their salvation. Oh, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
It stays that way.
Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Not push away. This word will set you free, church.
Mm-hmm.
How many churches... It says it right in... And how many churches in this are preaching the gospel? They're not. There are a lot of them are closed. The doors are still closed. Like Hank Kuhneman said, you're not a pastor. I mean, these people are coming to hear the word of God, and you're not opening the doors to get them free. Read Jeremiah 23, see what God thinks about pastors that pull away. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You said something I was going to say. The way you stay crazy about it after 40 years of being a Christian and not having been or not hearing anything is to stay full of the word and to come to church and to assemble. And the other people egg you on, and the anointing is stronger in a corporate, and the healing power is stronger. And I'll tell you what, we believe in healing, and I believe that healing is going to come. We've had two significant extreme miracles. One from a stroke, which went away, and the other one a heart attack, which was proved by, she's raising her hand right there, heart attack. Right in the doctor's office, they took tests, and the way she described it was myocardial infarction, you know, and it went down her arm and paralyzed, you know, it was actually everything. And then the next day she went to CHI hospital. They put her in the hospital and they did tests and they were negative. And they waited 2 more hours, did more tests. They were negative. They sent her home. They said, your heart's okay. Man, those are two significant miracles. And I believe we're going to have more. Okay, so yeah, she wouldn't say it.
problem. Every part of your body, when you speak words, you, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those in love it shall bear the fruit thereof.
You see, when I was diagnosed with cancer, and he said, you have cancer in your left breast, first thing it came, and I'm not, this is because staying full, singing, even singing with some of the songs, and I says, whose report do I believe? You know what? Not that I didn't believe. There was cancer, and I had it taken out. But I was happy. But boy, did I get in those scriptures every day for healing. And I asked God what to do, and he said, but then I never took any chemo. There's no way I was going to deplete my body so I could never stand up here. Whoa, you know, pew on that. And nothing ever happened. That was 2012. Yeah. Amen. So you can be seated. There's another song we're going to sing. See, okay, so here we are in church. The Lord told me to talk on faithfulness today. So you can get Matthew 25 ready. Yeah, and we'll have the babies go so other people can hear the gospel. But if you come to church and all you do is ever sing and you never hear, you might as well stay home. And we didn't come here to take care of our kids. And when there's nursery. But that's so the people can come in. Yes. Really? We'll pray for her later. Yes. Yes. Because someone had a stroke at home and they literally were healed and they had all the symptoms, all of them. Paralyzed, couldn't talk, you know, whole side. Yep. Yeah. It's just, it's a matter of what you learn. It's a matter of what you say. Matter of having God. That's, we want to help these people who are so dying and sick, and they don't have to be. It's like, you know, I do too. I mean, there's like pain a lot of times here. I mean, you just keep going on. Sure, I go to doctors and have things done too. You do that. I'm not refuting that, but it's so you can go on. Okay, so I want to just say this. This teaching affects not only the here and now, what we're going to say today, but eternity. This affects eternity. We have one more song we're going to sing, or maybe a couple more. And I don't know, you know, Lee Greenwood on God Bless the USA. But it's going to be a little later, and we'll take the tithes and offerings in the middle of the sermon. Faithfulness. So don't assume you know all there is about faithfulness, and don't look at it with a negative slant. You know what? In James, it actually says your life is like a vapor. I mean, take hairspray and go, psst. And honestly, it is. Since I'm the age I am, 81, I think, my God, oh, why did I waste those times? You know what? Don't waste your time with the things of God. Oh, see, it's like a vapor. You know, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Okay? Make the most of your days. Let's go to Matthew 25, verse 14. People skip because it's a holiday. I'm sorry, I could just cry because there are things people need to learn. I mean, I care like that little girl cared. I mean, she cared when she was going like this, was saying, she put her hand on her heart, she put her arm up, she cared what she was singing. Even, I don't know, she's a Christian, I don't know. Okay, for the Amplified, for it is like a man who is about to take a long journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his property. God took a long journey. He's up there. Jesus ascended up into heaven, right? He entrusted us with this, his property. To one, he gave five talents, probably about, actually in the Passion Bible, it says 5,000 coins of gold. To another, two, which would be 2,000 pounds of gold. To another, one. Each, now this is why though, each in proportion to his ability, his own personal ability. Then he departed and left the country. Okay. He who received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he gained five more. And likewise, he who had received the two talents, he gained two talents more. Okay? Two talents more. And likewise, he who had received... Okay, I was supposed to read 14 and 15. I'm kind of passionate today.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to hear... I want us to be real with the Lord. Okay, so those are talents. It doesn't make any difference, just like how many people we have. What are the results of their life? Have they been changed? I've even heard that over and over. You can have a house full of people, but usually you're compromising on what you're saying. Because you could get really mad at me for some of the time, and that's not my personality. It really isn't. When I'm in the social thing, I'm like, oh, sure, yeah, You know, kind of a, honestly. And then I get up here and I go, oh, my gosh, what did I say? Oh, I go home and then I get persecuted from the enemy. You shouldn't have said that. No, I know. But, I mean, it's the truth. And I've heard Kenneth Hagin have that same problem. I've heard them all have it, so I'm not going to feel bad. It just shows I was saying something. Okay, so the Bible says not to compare ourselves among ourselves. And Scripture says when you compare yourself, good or bad, with someone else, you are not wise. You know, it's not fair to just compare yourself with the results of someone who is given five or two or one. You know, it doesn't make any difference. You know what? We don't know the abilities that God gave someone, and you don't know their ability. But God does know his children's ability. His children's ability. He's not looking at quantity. He's not looking at the notoriety of people. Or, whoa, how you did so good. Look at that big athlete in high school, and you're just a nothing. That's a bunch of baloney. It is a bunch of baloney. I've lived long enough. If you're with Christ, you are highest as you can be. You're in the highest place of authority of the universe. God, but you know what? God is looking for one thing, not the grandeur, not the smartness, not any of that. Like Keith Moore always used to say, I love that. I've used it over and over. But he said, the most genius person with the highest IQ in the world, and there are people who, you know what? He says they only know a fourth of a teaspoonful that God knows. And if you're with God, you have him living in you. And if you listen to him, you can know more. But what is God looking for? You got it. You got it, lady. God is looking for faithfulness to him, to what you do, to the church, but he's also looking in your job, in the way you conduct yourself. Faithfulness is being trustworthy, reliable, dependable, blah, 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 blah. Okay, but all you can be faithful is what you have, and as far as you can go. Okay, so Hank Kuhneman and me were ordained almost about the same time. And I can remember a couple of years after he was ordained, he said, how's your church going? It's like, is this ever going to change? Yeah, look at Hank Kuhneman and look at me. He got way notoriety. But see, he's been proclaimed, you know, he's a prophet. I'm a pastor. He's a pastor prophet. So I've got the ability he gave me. You know, I have to receive that. Sure, I'd like to be him, but I look to him and I know he's accurate and all that stuff, but I'm not known throughout the world now like he is. All of a sudden I went, whoa, hey. And sure, his church has tripled because of the content of what is going on in that church, of the prophetic word. And sure, and that is, I mean, I can't fake prophecies. I'm not going to either. By the way, I got to give you your book back, Mary. Your book back. Okay. But you can't be faithful, though, with opportunities you didn't get, but you can be faithful with what you have. Now, let's go to verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents at once, he traded them and gained 5 more. The one who received 2, he did the same thing. And he who received 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. He hid what he received. Many of us have thrown away even what we have received. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And that is prophetic for right now. It's prophetic for right now. The master of those servants returned. Jesus is coming back, and he settled accounts with them. There's a time of reckoning. And to verse 20, he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more. He said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents, and I've gained 5 more. His master said, Well done, you upright, honorable, admirable, and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy, worthy over a little, and I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into and share the joy, the delight, the blessedness your master enjoys. And he who had the 2 talents came forward, and Master, you entrusted 2 and gained 2 more. And he said the same thing to him. Okay. And he says, enter into and share the joy, the delight, and the blessedness which your master enjoys. Now, he said the same thing to the man who had 5 as he did to the one who had 2, right? Said the same thing. And that's what I'm talking about. The one with 2 was just as faithful as the one with 10. So God is not looking for quantity. God is how many, see, how I want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant, right? Now just think of you standing there with the head of the church right in front of you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. At that point, any of the sweat, the toil, the pain, the sacrifice you had to do, and let me tell you, there's times I can't be with grandkids, I can't be with this, I can't be with that, I got to study. Well, you listen to Joyce Meyer, she said the same thing. Sure, you want to go out with the ladies, you want to go out or you want to go shopping, you got to study. If God puts you in charge of something, you got to do it. You know, and time passes and you've missed out on a lot of things that a lot of people do. Okay. But any of the sweat, the toil, the sacrifice in the past life is just a faint memory if you can stand in front of the Lord. Because what you are looking at is you're going to be ruler over much and you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, what I'm talking about, not just in this life, in eternity. I'll get there. That's why it's prophetic. This is prophetic, this whole passage. Now, I'm just going to say this. You know, in Mark 4, it's the sower sows the word. And in Mark 4:25, it says, for to him who has will more be given from him who has nothing. Even what he has will be taken away from him. Now let's go to verse 25 in Matthew 14 and put it up there. No, well, let's go to verse 24. I meant, did I say 25? Yeah, go to 24 first. 25, 24. He who had received one talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a harsh and a hard man. See, it seems like we're harsh or hard, but what we're reading, what we're doing is speaking the word. And it says that men, in Mark 4, it actually says people will get offended at the word because God loves you enough to correct you. It says, where you did not sow, and gathering where you had not winnowed the grain. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is your own. Now, the opposite I put in my Bible of faith is, can you answer me? Fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. You come in fear. But his master answered him, you wicked, lazy, and idle servant. Now let me stop there. So scripture says, to one that has shall more be given. And to one that has not shall even that which he has be taken away. And notice some have, and those people seem to get more and more. Others don't have and even lose what they have. So God is fair. He is perfectly just. But he knows our hearts and what we'll do with what we've been given and who won't. Socialism, communism have been talked about. And there are different camps and different philosophies. And I say again, what's the use of coming to church if you're going to sit in the nursery? Okay, or in the children's with your... I'm sorry, I'm taking the... tithes and offerings pretty soon, but it is, you know, we provide, so there's maybe 5-6 people out of here to help that situation. I'm sorry, but it makes me upset because I only want you to hear the word. I want you to grow. I want you to move up. I want you to be excited about the word, and you're here. But socialism and communism have been talked about. They're trying to put us into it. And there are different camps and there's different philosophies about it. But the people, what they're learning in school, it's good. Are you kidding? Sure, they're passing out money. You know what's going to happen? Ain't going to be too long that you'll be taxed so high and they tax the middleman. It's happened in every communist state that they have. That's the way they work. They give you money at first, then you have nothing, zippo. So you got to give up your house, your property, your car. You move in an apartment with no heat. I mean, I'm telling you, maybe it doesn't happen right away, but it's a slow thing. See, a camp in our own country says that we need to divide the wealth up among everybody. Oh, that's a great solution, you say. No. If I gave you $10 million today, what would you do with it? The same thing you would do with $100. You'd spend it on something and it'd be gone. You have to see, this is where the faithfulness comes in. That isn't the solution. I mean, I even think of John's dad, who said he came from poverty. His dad did. His mother had 8 kids and the father left him for other women. And so she had to raise those kids. And he said, I borrowed $300,000 to go to school and be a doctor. which he is even his gastroenterologist. You know, so then I sacrificed. Now I finally got some money, and I'm supposed to, it isn't that. Do you see what I'm talking about? You quit that. Somebody's got money. There's something behind it. My uncle went to the third grade, my dad's brother, okay? And he went to the third grade and went, by the time he was 30 years old, he was a millionaire. And he retired. He had three things. He had a Ford dealership. He had Wagner Well, which still exists, was my maiden name. It still exists in Dodge, Nebraska. It's passed down the family. And what happened was during the Great Depression years, people were desperate because they were losing their land, their farmland. He bought it all up in Round Dodge and all that area, and he rented it out to them. Third grade. And see, he helped my dad a lot. Both of them were in World War II. My dad was born in 1892. He was born in 1895 or something like that, his brother. But he was probably, and we lived right next door to each other, and they married sisters too. So the sisters were, the brothers were brothers and the sisters. And, but he helped my, dad and gave him the business eventually, and it helped all of us. We had four kids, they had one. but that just, so don't get upset. He worked his tail off. My dad told me, I remember he said in World War II, he said we were living, we had to stay in tents. And he said, my brother and I, they put them together. They don't do that anymore, brothers. They don't put them when they go into the army for fear that they'll both die at once. So they separate them. But they did then, and they were in this tent. And he said, we had the flu really bad. We were throwing up. And it was muddy, it was pouring, there was just mud on there, and they were laying on just some little thing, and he said there were snakes coming in. And it was to a point where we didn't even care. But they made it out of World War II. They made it out of World War II. But see, it's determination. I must say, my uncle lived to be 100 years old. My dad didn't. He was in his 60s. So there was a difference, in them, but it was a determined person. Right. See, how long do you think, divide the wealth, okay, wealth up. Okay, so you give someone $1 million and they do the same thing they would with $100. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, if I had some serious money, I could make it. Or I would give more. I would finally start to tithe. No, Jesus said, if you're not faithful with a little, you might not be faithful with much. It's the truth. So what would you do with the $10 million? First thing you would have to do is you would have to tithe. That's $1 million. But when you get that much, see, I've seen that. I haven't seen $10 million, but I mean, it's like if you're not given a dime on a dollar, if you're not given $100, $10 on $100, $100 on $1,000, okay, $1,000 on $10,000, and it keeps going. Do you see what I mean? But when it gets up there, like you get $10,000 and you got to give $1,000. If you haven't been given it, the 10%, it's hard to give that $1,000 away. I know it is. But see, and I know this isn't all about tithe. It's not. But it's part of it. It's part of that. See, what would you do with $10 million? You do exactly what you did with $100. And sometimes people, see what I'm talking about, That's why we are out of debt in this church. The first thing I do is pay the bills. They get paid within 2 days of when they come. Or some of them are on charge card. I don't even know if you can comprehend this. I don't know if you... Our Visa card last month was $9,962. And because I paid it, because I held all that back, I will not spend a penny until I know those bills, because I know what they are. As soon as they spend money, they got to tell me so I can discount it out of the checking account so I know how much money I got. And it will not, we paid it, the whole thing, $9,962 and blah, blah, blah cents. That's because I put, and I have gotten $5 on the playground. Thank you. That person, thank you. I got $5 for the playground set. But I had to give half of the, was $3,300 and some bucks to give that. And we still got to have the ground prepared. And I'm doing that, you know, and there's other things. We've got the carpet money. What's stopping us? I know we've kind of gone haywire on that. But that is because of what's underneath here. And that's what stopped us. I bet we're going to do the hallway pretty quick here. But I'm sorry about that. It just kept. Okay. So the Lord is huge on this faithfulness and being a good steward. And see, if you're bothered by this, you got to get past it because time is short. Take the opportunity for to God to show yourself faithful. It's like investing in the future. God knows, and He is looking at us right now. And He knows who to give more to. See, we got, you know, it says, and all the stuff that I've read, it says when somebody new comes in, just like it doesn't make any difference. Kind of like the, say, well, I graduated from West Point, you know, and I know how to conduct warfare. And then these other guys go, he hasn't been through what I've been through. I've been through the wars, and I know some of that stuff doesn't work. I mean, do you ever watch a movie and they say that? You know what? But see, that's the same thing. So see, well, I could even bring John up. He'd been through 3 years of Bible college, 1 year of university. But what is he doing? He's cleaning. He has to clean and to do certain things. You know, he wants to help as much as he can with the ministry of helps. And okay, now I'm not trying to, you know, what I'm saying is sometimes when people come in, I remember Kenny Cuckler, you used to say, Jolene, you came in new and she said, what can I do to help? And he said, would you pick up sticks in the yard? He did, and she did. She picked up the sticks, you know, or would you clean the toilets? Hey, I've done all those myself. I clean the toilets. I would do them now if you're shorthanded. I would. See, or dig a hole or clean the toilets or sweep the sidewalks or blow them off or whatever. And some people think, well, I'm better than that. I've had education. And I must say, when I'm older, I'm not as some of those things that I can work. And it's like, now it's more like. And I don't like it. I want to go. And I go, oh, oof. Take it easy. Okay. So I know, Denise, I mean, you went out there and you did all that. She keeps it like immaculate out there in that garden. We've never had it that nice, never, ever. I actually prayed for someone who would care about it. She came. See, but if you're not faithful in the little things, you will not be faithful in much. So God is watching what we're doing and what we have right now. Like if you didn't tithe off of 100 or 1,000, you won't tithe off of 1 million or 10 million. And you think you will. If you don't obey God to give a brother or sister in the Lord 20 bucks or 100 bucks or 200 bucks or whatever it is, you know, as soon as we heard was, I said, oh, forget it. We're not even going to raise the money. Just, we'll just pay it. All of a sudden, people come up here and bring all that money. They brought in too much. We put it in a benevolence fund. But we didn't even need the benevolence fund. I'm not kidding you. There's a way that God shows you how to. The little things matter hugely with God. It's not about the size of a thing you're dealing with or significance or importance of your position. It's your integrity and taking care of whatever you are doing. Amen. For example, getting a replacement when you can't perform a duty you signed up for in church. If you're not coming, get a replacement. Being on time to usher and not just coming at the last minute because you're not ready. See, people who are ready are full. You're full and you're ready. You're ready. Even greeting, it's huge. People will stay or go right out the door by the way they're greeted at the door. I've heard of it. They don't even care what the pastor preached. They don't care. They want love or something, you know. So all of that faithfulness is huge. And this is like, this is your house. This is not my house. It's our house. So I try to do my part, and I will help clean up stuff if it has to be done. See, so, okay, it's offering to greet, children's ministry, all those things, usher, you know, people in the sound booth have to do this every single Sunday. They need the help so they can sit in there. You know, to hear, because when you're doing something, you don't get as much. See, it's the faithfulness, it's submission, it's the obedience. I'm trying to think when to take the tithes and offerings because I was going to take it right in the middle here. So, So the guy that got one talent might have felt slighted, but he shouldn't have been jealous. He should have been thinking, I'm going to prove I can handle this right. So then maybe I can go upward. I've got to do something with this opportunity, and I'll be faithful instead of fussing about what someone else got. Focus on what you have right now. And, you know, in that verse 24, it said that he was fearful of that guy. Fear is the opposite of faith. And fear will ruin you. It'll keep you from stepping out. It'll keep you from tithing. It'll keep you from being faithful. But fear is not an excuse. You can yield to the spirit of fear, or you can fight with the tools God gave you. He gave you the word. 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give you, his child, a spirit of fear, but he gave you power. And we're talking resurrection dynamite power. He gave you his love, the same DNA of love. You got it in your spirit. It's shed abroad in your heart. And he gave you a sound mind. You don't even have to worry about getting Alzheimer's or, you know, you don't. If you keep in this word, that will stop it. And if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, see, some people won't even tithe because they have a fear they're going to lose that money, but I need that money for this and this and this. See, but you tithe first. And when that trust in God, he'll cause it to come. And we tithe from this church. We over tithe. How can you over tithe? Tithe is 10%. You give from the church the 10%, but you give more. To different areas. Okay, so let's stop there and take the tithes and offerings. So we'll pass that out. And you know what? You could for the tithes and offerings, see, I didn't know how I was gonna do this, but God's directing it. You can play the USA Lee Greenwood song. The first one. When they're done. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
My.
Glory to God.
Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
You know, see, we're talking about being faithful to work. Faithful to your work. Can your work depend on you? I know I'm talking about this now, but that's all part of it. That's wonderful when people can rely on you, that you're going to show up at your work. Employees like that. And you get bonuses and raises. And there was... Hallelujah. Okay, so... Okay, you can wait for a second on that, but let's raise this up, and I'm going to say this. This is from Eagle Mountain Church. Because we are tithers, the windows of heaven are opened over us, pouring us out a blessing we can't contain. The devourer, the devil, the enemy, is rebuked for our sakes. He will not destroy the fruit of our ground, neither shall our vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. And nations shall call us blessed because we are a delightsome land. And because we are sowers, the hundredfold return is working in our behalf every day. Because of that, God is able. He is able. But he's not able if you're not. God is able to make all grace and every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that we may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. In other words, you have something happens out there, and you have the money to help somebody. You can give it. You can help somebody get their apartment, or it's going to go. You know what I mean? But if you never have anything left, and we believe God to restore lost funds to you in multiplied fashion. And because you're investors in this church, and that's why you're investors in Kenneth Copeland, I can't even think of ICAC, a BOGO, Pastor Nancy, that Dufresne minister. Yeah, Rick Renner. Anyway, there's more than that. Lots of them. Anyway, we believe for God. Okay, your investment, and maybe you do have investments in stocks or something. That's smart, too. They're producing mighty fruit. For the Lord commands the blessing in our storehouses, in our bank accounts, in all we set our hands to do. And God is our rapidly increasing money supply, because we will become money magnets. And this is, I'll tell you what, we need to fund the gospel. And when you fund the gospel, it's just like God blesses you with other stuff. Okay, so you can go ahead while they're picking it up and play that. Okay, this is good, so stay awake.
A little sleep.
This song is good. If I'm not... She's in intercession. Because there is, needs to be. So go to verse, let's go to verse 26 now of Matthew 25. And his master answered him and he said, "You wicked and lazy and idle servant, did you indeed know that I reap where I have not sowed and gather grain where I have not winnowed? Then you should have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will be furnished richly so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away." And throw, now these are the words of Jesus. Jesus said they're written in blood. I mean in red. That's blood. "And throw the good for nothing servant out into outer darkness, for there will be weeping and gnashing, grinding of teeth." See, everybody wants to hear the well done. But is everybody faithful? See, are you going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if you have really not been faithful? Now, maybe we don't like to think about this, but what we also need not to play church. And I'm going to say this too. And I know you've heard it before, but I'm going to say it. I thank God my mother would actually, she would make us go to bed early on Saturday night. She would lay out all our clothes so that we would be ready for church and be alert to listen. And not go to bed, and because it's Saturday night, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, because it's Saturday. And Saturday is a play day. And you stay up late. That's wrong thinking. That's not faithful to God. I'm just, you know what, I'm just trying to make us grow up. But there are some things that I was taught, and I look back on them, and I really appreciate it. And I know I've told you that before. We don't play church. So understand how short your life really is, especially now. Because in just a few days or a few heartbeats, you could be standing in front of the judgment seat of Christ. And it won't be you and your dad and your mom or your children or your husband or your wife or the pastor, or you'll be there alone. You, just you, yourself. You, yourself, and I. And you will be asked to give an account for your life. And some people get terrified to hear this, but you won't be if you start. You can start today. Doesn't make any difference how old you are. If you're doing something with the talents God gave you for the kingdom of God. Just do some, you know. Man, it's a talent to maybe to even pick some stuff up that's laying on the floor. You know, after the or cigarette butts in the parking lot or junk in the parking lot. Shut the doors. Make sure the windows are shut. See, those, honest to God, those are things God even sees you doing. Every little thing helps. Somebody washes the towels in the kitchen. You know, what will we do without that? The towels and the dishcloths and that kind of stuff. You know, somebody has to go to the store all the time and get the products that we use here. You've got to... I get a bill for $300 for the toilet paper, for the cleaning the toilets, cleaning the bathrooms. So you don't realize you got to pay that in your house. We do too. But God does it. Do you see what I'm talking about? This is our house. And I just don't think sometimes people realize that stuff. But you see, you know, we live in a world where there is no fault. Religion is popular. Millions of people are hearing that from the pulpit. It's love. And it is love. Love should be first, but love isn't. It's okay. I know that you couldn't help it. You know, you were addicted to drugs, and, you know, I know once, it's okay. You know, it's okay. It's okay that you committed fornication last night. I'm sorry. It's not okay. But our, in that, yeah, you always get picked on. Did I embarrass you? It's okay. It's not okay if you steal that money. No. He's got the giggles. Anyway. It's, but see, okay, so I mean, like we were learning in that we're doing Assembling Together by Joel Siegel on that Thursday morning Bible study, and they went, whoa, that was the first chapter. Whoa. See, the false churches rose up even though they were born again, spirit filled. You go take your drink and go get it filled up in the middle of praise and worship. How can the anointing be on it? No, I mean, that's what they did, but they're born again, spirit-filled churches. Or they checked the population and what they believed in and what, where they were at, lower, middle class, high class, you know, whatever. And they catered to that kind of thing. And then, well, people can't stand 15 minutes of preaching. So then in between, we got to have a video or else go get our drink filled. See, false churches rose up and they started to say, it's okay. It's okay. This is okay. That's okay. You know, because love wouldn't tell you the truth. Love does tell you the truth. Those false churches, some people went into them. They even got born again. And I know they're in Omaha because I've got a source that's a relative. and those false churches, so they come to this kind of church and they think we're nuts. They think we're nuts because we're acting like the real church does from the book of Acts. And that's what made us look like that, because of the deadness of the false churches. Or else the pastor isn't even born again. So, I mean, you know, in some of the places. And so it was just this routine you did. It's like Sherry said, she made out her grocery list. She wrote thank you notes because it was so boring when she was in a denomination. I'm not putting down anybody's church. No one's, because there's some godly people in all of them and godly pastors. There are. But what I'm saying is they come in here. Oh my gosh, they raise their hands. Those people are wild. Oh my gosh, they run around with their Bible saying, we will not stop the truth. How do you think this country's still alive? See, the more full you get, the more excited you get, the more fire you get inside of you. You stay full with the word of God. You can't even help yourself. You can't. I'm telling you, this is the book of Acts. Look in the book of Acts. That's where the church started. That's the way they acted. And it's going. And so they think you're a cult. Literally, they think you're a cult. When you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and strength, you bind witchcraft and all that cultish stuff. You come against it. You give up your life for it and pray. See, the tongues, they aren't a cult. You've got to have the Holy Ghost or you don't make it. See, there's no fault. Religion is popular. Millions are hearing it. No matter what happens, it's not your fault. Or no matter what doesn't happen, it's not your fault. And no matter what does or doesn't happen for you, it's not my fault either. No, that's not true. If I don't teach what I know to teach, it's my fault. Say, whose fault is it? Well, God's ways are mysterious. No, that's just another way of saying it's God's fault. Remember when Adam and Eve missed it immediately, what started to happen? Fear came in, but Adam started to blame someone else. He blamed Eve. Yep, right, yep. The blame goes anywhere except to you. To me. You know what? And we've got to look at it. So one of the biggest indicators that someone has grown up spiritually is that they begin to take responsibility for what's happening in their life. Maybe their husband acts that way because you need to change. Maybe your wife needs to act that way because you need to change, husband, or whatever. You know, or do you see what I mean? Oh, it's because of him. No. You know, look at yourself, and it could be something. I mean, somebody's getting beat up, or that's not right. But take responsibility. See, you must get a clue. When the same thing happens to you over and over and over, you get the same reaction no matter where you go, or what you do, or who you encounter. Then you got to see, hey, wait a minute, something not right here. Oh, it's their fault. It's got to be their fault. No, look what you're saying. Look what you're doing. Look, I don't know. It just may be you and not everyone else. And a spiritually mature Christian takes responsibility for their own actions instead of blaming everybody else and everything else. And you know what? Really, we live in a world of excuses. Everything is someone else's fault. Oh, it's the Democrats. Oh, it's the Republicans. Well, there's more to it than that. There is. It's grandma's fault. It's grandpa's fault. This came down the line. It's the denomination's fault. No, it isn't. I never blamed them because they never learned either. Oh, we don't know. Oh, it's God's fault because he's in control. Is he in control? Who did he turn his control over to? Us. You come right back to yourself. See, why is my life the way it is? And I granted there are some people who have been abused when they were little, and it's hard for them to overcome that stuff. But you can overcome it. You can. I know because I fight. You fight. You might, well, I'm emotional and I have problems. Then stop thinking about the things you shouldn't be. Cast down vain imaginations. You can do it. Ooh, what am I thinking of? That's not right. Devil, get out of here. Get away from me. Father, forgive me for thinking that way, thinking back what that person did to me or what this did or blah, 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 blah. Repent for it and get strong and forget it. But then, go on. Then that's why you need to keep going on and get full of the word, because you just get to a point where I don't care. I don't care what that kid said to me in school. I don't care anymore. Hey, I got things, talents they don't have. But then don't think, you know what? Okay, why is my life the way it is? It's because what I've done or said or the choices I've made. Or because of what I haven't done and knew I was supposed to do. Or what I believe or haven't believed. So a faithful man will abound in blessings. And everybody wants to hear that. Well done, good and faithful servant. But will you hear, well done, good and faithful servant? See, that servant knew what his Lord expected, but he did not try. The one with the one talent. Didn't even try. And we need to break out of religion, tradition, and ideas of spiritual socialism. There's spiritual socialism too. A form of socialism. Okay, so it's time to sleep now, right? No. Okay. Am I going too long? I'll be done pretty soon. Spiritual socialism. Okay. There's a form of it, or a spiritual communism, that people believe. They believe when we get to heaven, every person is going to have, well, I'm born again. I haven't done a cotton picking thing with being born again, but I got born again. And so I'm going to go to that mansion in the sky, and everybody's mansion is going to look the same. They're all going to be black and white, with black front and a white mansion. And you know what? But it's not true. Those who did more on earth are going to get more in heaven. They are. And here, I gotta look at my notes for this though. No Bible says, see, mine will look like yours and vice versa. No, the Bible says in the resurrection, we will differ in glory like the stars do in the sky. Not the movie stars. Okay. Anyway, Daniel 12:3, and you don't even have to put it up. Listen, those who were wise teachers, those who brought others to righteousness will shine as bright as the sun. See, some stars you could barely see, and others are indescribably illuminated, right? That's what it's going to be like. From that passage is prophetic. It's a revelation of the future. And you know what? Some people, you're going to be ruling over cities in the millennium. And maybe you, they would have never put you in charge of something like that on earth, but God will do it because you are faithful. So some will rule over two cities. Some will have one city or five or 10 or more. You know, you'll have responsibility for more than others, depending, and it doesn't make any difference, you know. And it will be based on what we did down here according to what we've been given. How faithful were we? In Proverbs 20, verse 6, and I'm going to just read different versions. Many say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who's truly reliable? Amen? You thought somebody was your friend. You know what? We're all make mistakes, and we've probably been that same way to another friend, so don't cry over that. Just look, he's your best friend. Many claim to be loyal, but it's hard to find a trustworthy person. That's another version. Everyone talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try to find one who really is. Everybody likes to think, I'm faithful, you can count on me. But what's reality? Reality is faithful people are not everywhere. Is everybody faithful? No. Actually, really, faithful people are rare. Everybody's not reliable or trustworthy. And you can't control them either. You can't control them. You've got to do this and you stop this and you're getting into religion. Be careful, let him. You know what? But you can make up your mind that with God's help, you will be one of the faithful ones. You know, start. I don't care if you're in your 70s. Start now. You should start now. No. And she's very faithful. You will be one of those who hear good and faithful. You know what? Just close your eyes right now. Just pretend like you're standing in front of the Lord. And see yourself, the Lord Most High, and he calls your name. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things I gave you. Now I'm going to make you ruler over much. Then he says, and we read this verse way back, he said, enter into eternal joy. Can you imagine that? Joy, 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 joy. Never ending joy. And peace. See, a lot of people say they are faithful. Okay, you can open your eyes. He didn't fall asleep. No. So people, I looked up the definition. Trustworthy, reliable, loyal, steadfast, dependable, constant, and committed. You can rely on them to be there. You can count on them. You can reduce this definition to one word. What is really faithful? God. That's the definition of faithful, really. Everything you wanted to know about faithfulness, you can see in him, right? So the Bible says he's a faithful creator. He's a faithful high priest. He's a faithful to forgive us our sins. He's faithful. He's a faithful witness. He's a faithful healer. Many, many, many more things. And what does he expect of us? Can we trust him completely? Can you trust God? Yes. Can you rely on God? Yes. What if we couldn't? Some people think they can't, but they haven't come to know him. My hope would be gone. Just think, if there wasn't for God, oh my gosh, the trust that you have, it wouldn't be worth living here. Just think of that. Ew, your hope would be gone. Can he trust us, though? You know, it is. God has people he can trust and rely on, but his eyes go to and fro throughout the earth to see what your heart is like. You may be a nothing on this earth, and then there may be this high guy you look up to, athlete, whatever he is, or even a preacher or whatever it is. But you know what? Your heart. He looks at the heart. And that's why some people get other people's blessings, actually. Some people get used over and over again because the others are not obeying. See, in every church, you have a handful of overworked people and those who do nothing. Thank God we're not going to be like that here, right? Or we're not. We are God. We got some people we cannot rely on. But anyway, some say, well, I'm faithful to work at my job and to my family and all that's good. But what about the kingdom of God? It says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all that will be added. You should be doing something, and it doesn't matter if it's a big, important job or if others know you're doing it. It doesn't. He knows. No matter how small it is, if it's for Jesus, it's for the kingdom of God. It's very important. To the point, we got little kids and they like to open the windows. And you know what? Sometimes they've been open and that jacks up. So, yeah, utility bills here. Wait a minute. Here. Okay. Utility, Ken, please. Okay. Utility bills are high here. There. Let's see. Last month was over 2,000 something. Oh, yeah. Air conditioning. The month before was 1,300. In the winter once, it was almost 5,000. And they were paying it. This is a miracle. So you got to be faithful with the finances, too. I have to be, too. See, no matter how small it is, though, shutting the windows. How do you see his faithfulness? Okay, faithfulness. He's always there. And you can't, that person, you can't be faithful if you're not there. Can you be faithful, mother or father, if you're not there? Can you be a faithful boss, an employer, or a pastor if you're never there? I'm having my family over this afternoon, and I had to, you know, clean and do all this stuff, get the food, blah, 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 and do this. But this was most important to me. It is. See, if so, yeah. See, are you a faithful helper if you never show up? Or no matter how hard you think you work or how great your skills are, if you never show up, what difference does it make how great your skills are? Especially if you're supposed to be there and you never showed. You're unfaithful. And simply put, faithfulness is being there. And it's very important because God is always there. You know, in Matthew 28, he said, "Lo, I am with you to the end of the world," in the Great Commission. So how do you know a faithful employee? He's always there. He's always on time, and he does his job. But I get paid for that. You know, that's worth it. You know what? I deliberately, and I know there's scripture after scripture in here that says I was supposed to take a salary way back. I never took a salary until the last, maybe, 3 years, four. I didn't. Because I wanted to show that it wasn't, I'm not doing this for the money. I'm not. So, okay. So what about people that don't show? Always something else is going on. How many understand the enemy will bring something up to knock you out of going to church? Excuses. I got to change the oil of my pickup. Oh, I've got to sell something. You know, I've got it enlisted and I better stay home because it might sell. There's a lot of weeds in my flower bed or in my garden. And this is the only day I have to do them. Now I'm sick. Okay. The dog is sick. The cat is sick. The horse is sick. You know what? Johnny's got a game. That one really can be. Yeah, because... And that there was a time us pastors in this town signed a petition that there would not be games on Wednesday nights. Well, that changed, and they didn't all keep it. Okay. We hear life-changing revelation from the Holy Spirit, and many are supposed to hear at church meetings. And that's why the Lord can't give them more. Priorities are out of line. See, if 10 or 20 years, you still don't have much, not the necessary finances, but because the revelation and the anointing of God was not heard, and many of it. But see, you can start now. Okay, everybody, I'm going to be done. Okay, if we're not faithful, what an instruction to go to a meeting. How would you be faithful to get a church? If God says go to a meeting, it makes no difference. If there's snow, ice, or rain, you or money, even money. Believe God and trust Him. He'll give you the money, the gas. He'll protect you. He'll give you a decent car. See, excuses are mean unfaithfulness if the Lord has told you to be there. Okay, this one scripture and I'll end with it. Hebrews 13:5. Out of the Amplified. You can always count on God being there. You know, whether you feel like He is or whether you feel like He isn't, He's there. Okay, this says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money. God will give you money because He knows what you do for it, but don't love it. Including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. You know what? Take care of what you have. If you dump your car up, you're not going to get one, another one. If you don't clean out stuff, if you dump your house, you're not going to get another one or a better one. And there is nothing it says, sure, see, this sounds like you shouldn't even have, you have earthly possessions, you know, when you give out. Okay, But you don't even care about him. You care about God more. And then you use it to help people. I will not in any... Now, here it is, though. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Whoa! I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. It's three times in the Amplified, and in other Weiss's translation, another translation, because it's right there in the Greek. Three times it said, I will not, I will not, I will not. If God said it, one time it's true, but he knows the nature of us and our world and our flesh and our mind, and he wants us to have strong consolation, and he said it three times. Amen. So, when you need God, he's there. When you reach up and pray and call on him. Call him up. And he will call him up. And he'll answer you. That's in Jeremiah. Will he be reliable? Will he come through? Yes. Every single time, because you're his child. As much as Vanda loves her child, Mike, God loves us more. Any of you. You love Isaiah. You love these kids. You know, he'll come through. So you be a faithful child of God that he can count on. You know, here's, okay, and I promise I'll stop. What if at the Red Sea, what if he would have arrived 15 minutes late? And there, his people would be floating on the Red Sea because he was late. And God says, well, I was only 15 minutes late. And he says, you know, it's a big universe and I got a lot going on. See, you can't imagine God not showing up or being late because he can't be unfaithful. And we got to ask ourselves, we're supposed to be like him. So we'll be there, you know, be faithful. Okay, in this, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble. How about the soldiers, depending on another soldier or ammunition? Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a foot, rather like a broken tooth. You ever had a broken tooth? I have. Oh, yikes. It's painful. It's sensitive. If you try to eat, ooh, it crunches your gums. It hurts. It's like you can't eat. I have. Or this is even worse, like a foot out of joint. Oh, ouch, out of your joint. Just think, your foot is bad enough, your knee's out of your joint. You know, that stuff hurts. Or your hips out of your joint. I've felt that stuff. Yeah, that's what I... So just think, it's unfaithful people. Give pain to other people. We're done. Okay, you can play God Bless America and we'll stop. And you have a wonderful Independence Day. Oh, we will.